some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also what things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Smoggy, and welcome everybody back to the show. It's gardening talk show, organic, from the organic viewpoint. If you've just found us, we talk about how to get away from using the synthetic fertilizers and the toxic chemical pesticides for a whole bunch of reasons. The main one being that the natural organic approach works better. And, well, equally important is that the other fertilizers cause a tremendous problem for the soil, the air, and plants and people. And then the toxic pesticides obviously are toxic and lead to all kinds of issues. So for those reasons, and then you add to that, the natural organic approach works better in every way, including saving water and a lot of it. That's why we recommend what we do. Telephone number to be with me on the show if you have a question or a tip or a suggestion or a complaint, whatever, is 1-866-444-3478. We've got big news. If you didn't hear the any of the first 2 hours, we have a brand new website, dirtdoctor.com, still. One of the reasons it's taken a long time to get it done is preserving all the data and the information and backup that's there has been moved over to the new format, which is still got a little problem here and there. There's always little broken things and things that can be improved and all that, and we're going through that and working on that as we speak, but it works great in general already, so check it out and see what you think about it. It's going to be a lot easier to amend, update, and edit, so we're going to be adding a lot of stuff. Within the next few weeks, it'll really ramp up about what we're adding as far as new information in the library, new photographs, clarifications, straightening some things out that were not as good as we wanted them to be and all that. The other thing, the other big news is that TORC, our not-for-profit organization, 501c3, Texas Organic Research Center, has its own freestanding website now. So check it out, texasorganicresearchcenter.org. And one of the things that we're encouraging there, I started talking about it a little bit today, and I'll ramp up discussing it for you on the show, but we want to increase the detailed information about successful organic, well, successful projects and also things that didn't work and why they didn't work on the TORC website, so it's real easy for people to find. So if you have residential, landscaping, vegetable garden, or if you have commercial properties, sending us photographs of those projects with information about what was done, what is being done. We will put that with your permission on the websites to help other people. For those that do participate in that idea, 6 months of free trial membership, if you haven't already, joined to the Organic Club of America. So if you've been thinking about joining and seeing what that's all about, it'd be a good way for you to check it out. If you don't like it, bail out after 6 months. If you do, you can hang around and help us out with what we're doing. All righty. Again, telephone number is 1-866-444-3478. And we're going to go to Louisville. Joanne's been holding, listening on 660 The Answer. Hello, Joanne.
Hi. Listen, Howard, I am calling back because I had called about my little gem magnolia a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was severely distressed and is about 4 feet away from my second magnolia, which was great, doing fine. Both of them had grown.
Yeah, I remember talking to you, yeah.
Yeah, just beautiful. Well, I went away for 10 days, still watered, and came back, and, you know, there were leaves dropped from this second one all over the place. So I did what you told me to do. I checked the soil, and it did look like it was not as wet as the other. So I watered the heck out of it and didn't drop leaves for over a week. I mean, and a half. So it looks like my battery is going out. But I wanted to tell you that that did help. I did water it, found out that might have been the problem. I fertilized it with Garrett Juice Plus once. Is there anything else I can do? Because there are new sprouts on this distressed plant.
Good.
So I know it's okay. It's just that I want to beef it up.
No, just keep the moisture level up. It probably, it can happen with new tree planting or any kind of a new plant that's planted. When people get in a hurry, I've done it myself, and they don't realize that the soil in the ball, the root ball, is dry. And they think, well, I'm going to go ahead and plant it, and I'll just water the heck out of it, and that'll make sure that it gets wet enough. A root ball is very, very reluctant to accept water in that scenario. So in the future, and this is probably what happened to you, it probably was a little dry when it went in the ground, and it's just taken time for the moisture to get into that root ball. You might take a probe. This will help you a little bit more with the little tree. Take a probe. If you don't have a pipe probe, you can do it with a golf club. Break a head off of a golf club and use the shaft. And stick holes in down into the root ball as you're watering. You see what I mean? So you're making some little pathways for that water to get down. It still may be, a lot of times people are surprised. They'll pull a plant out that has died, and they'll be shocked that the root ball is bone dry, and they've been watering the heck out of it, but the water would go in the soil around it but won't enter the ball.
I see.
It sounds like you have gotten it in to enter some, but to make it even better, like I say, let's poke some holes in it, do the water while it's going on, add a little Garrett juice to the water, and I think that by this time next year, I think your tree will be fine.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'm going to lose my charge here. So.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks, bye. Uh-huh.
Okay, and we've got open lines. It's been kind of up and down today, so jump on here at if you want to chat at 866-444-3478. I mentioned the one of the trees that I'm going to do a newsletter on that will grow pretty much anywhere a minute ago or in the previous hour is Parotia. Persian ironwood, and if you haven't tried that one yet and you're thinking about planting some new trees, it's a terrific one. Another one that I'm going to probably put in that newsletter and tell you about and try to encourage more people to try is the big tooth maple. The big tooth maple is just terrific, and I think will grow in a lot bigger area than its native habitat. Another one is Japanese maple. People are surprised some people are surprised that I'm so big on Japanese maples since it's an introduced tree. But it's one of those introduced trees that behaves itself and acts like a native, especially the green species form. Now, it's going to be a little bit harder for you to find, but I hear people talking all the time about their Japanese maples burned and they're getting sunburned and this is happening and that's happening. But generally, when they say that, they're talking about one of the really fancy hybrids. And I've got the fancy hybrids, too. I love them. I've got a whole lot of different kinds. But the ones that are the best, the Japanese maples that are the best, and they can take some full sun, are the species Green Regular Acer Palmatum. In other words, the mother plants that all the fancy hybrids and everything were bred from. Another tree that is in this category of being able to grow in a wide, wide range. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you about a couple more. One is called paper bark maple. Now, this is one gorgeous little tree. I mentioned it last week, and a couple of people followed up and asked me what it was again. Paper bark maple, it's kind of in the Japanese maple genre. It is best with a little protection from sun. Mine's growing under and into the Parodia and my big ginkgo, and it's doing pretty well. It would like a little more sun than it's getting. But it's a great tree in that it will grow from Boston to Dallas, Texas. I'll tell you about it, and I'll tell you about another one called Dawn Redwood when I come back, too, and then we'll go back to the phone. So jump on here with the other people, 866-444-3478, the website dirtdoctor.com. Again, the newsletter's free, and you can get it by filling out the form right on the homepage. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Let's go to Gorman, Texas, and talk to Diane. Where's Gorman, Diane?
It is 20 miles south of Interstate 20 between Abilene and Fort Worth.
I should have known that. What can I do for you?
We have some oak trees that hang out over our driveway and the highway, and the lower limbs need trim.
Mm-hmm.
And we see though, in the best time to do that with these without stressing them.
Well, before the Cowboy game starts today, probably.
Before the Cowboy game starts today.
Now, you can do it any time. And pruning in the winter, in the fall, is a good time to do it because you still have a lot of green foliage on the plants. You say they're oak trees. What kind of oaks are they?
They are, what kind of oaks? They're just native oaks.
So they're deciduous oaks? They're post
yes.
Oaks or blackjack? Yeah, if you trim now, you still have the foliage. You can see what's dead and what's damaged and that sort of thing. So it's just an ideal time to prune right now.
Okay.
You can prune anytime from the mid-summer through the winter, and everybody in the industry would say that's perfectly fine. The only time that some folks tell you to not prune red oak trees and live oak trees is in the spring when the sap is really moving around, and there probably is a little bit more of a chance of the vectors that move the oak wilt around to be an issue during that period of time. But right now, that's not an issue. Make the cuts. Don't do flush cuts. Leave the branch collar. Look at the pictures on my website if you got any question about that. And if you hire somebody, make them do it. And I wouldn't put any pruning paint or sealer or anything like that on the cuts at all.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. And the other thing about pruning is that most people think that trees need to be thinned out every year. And that's, you know, promoted by the industry, I guess, to a certain degree. And that's not true. The trees wouldn't have those limbs and the foliage if the trees didn't want it. So the pruning is more for your benefit than the trees. Now, if the tree is lopsided and has a weight problem one way or the other, or if it's blocking views or something like that, you know, but blocking views is actually for your benefit. There's very few reasons that the tree needs. There are some, but not as many reasons that the tree needs pruning compared to the fact that you need the tree pruned to improve a view, lift the limbs, so the car won't hit it in the driveway, those sorts of things. And if it needs to be done, do it. Just don't do more than you need. Real heavy opening, thinning of trees is not good for the trees. Lifting the limbs, the lower limbs, artificially high is not good for the trees. In fact, you can kill some trees. Cedar elms hate that. They like their lower limbs, and a lot of other trees do. And by the way, speaking of trees, I didn't finish talking about what I promised to talk about. The little, and then we'll go back to phones, but the little paper bark maple tree, you can see it on our website and in my tree books, but it has beautiful foliage, kind of puppy foot foliage in the summer. It has dark, dark red fall color. But one of the prettiest times is in the spring. It has a fuzziness, a pubescence to the stems and to the buds. It's kind of like a pussy willow, really pretty. And then it also has all kinds of features. It also has really pretty reddish brown exfoliating bark. So it's pretty all the way around. It's called paper bark maple, Acer grisium. The other one I'll mention just real quickly before we go back to the phones is a tree that is a great substitute for you to consider using instead of bald cypress. And it literally will grow from Boston to the South Texas. It's called Dawn Redwood. There's big, beautiful ones at the Arnold Arboretum in Boston. And we have some big, nice specimens here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Some of the prettiest ones I've ever seen in my life. You people that live in Memphis, Tennessee, can drive down the street and see. They're at a little college there, beautiful little college in Memphis called Rhodes. It's not the Rhodes Scholar Rhodes, but it's a small local college there, stone buildings, beautiful place. But it has some Dawn Redwoods there that I think I have pictured in some of my books. I need to get those pictures out and put them on the website. If they're not there, I'll check in a minute and see if they are. But they are gigantic. They're 100 and some feet tall, just beautiful, beautiful Dawn Redwoods in Memphis. But they'll grow in a very, very large percentage of the United States. And we'll give you more information about these great trees that'll grow pretty much anywhere in an upcoming newsletter. Fred's turn, WNTP in Philadelphia. Hi, Fred.
Yes, good morning, sir. I have, correct me if I'm wrong, I have a plant called a yew.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's pushing 6 feet tall, and it's on the border between my neighbor and their driveway, and I've had to cut it back a few times because it was hitting their car.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, can I cut this thing like way back? Will it promote growth and grow into a nice little bush?
Yeah, yews can take a fair amount of pruning, Paul, but like any plant, if you have to severely cut them back, you can stress the plants to a degree, and also they look bad. So the best time to cut back a plant at this time of the year, because if you do it now, you're going to look at the cuts and what you've done all winter. The best time is late winter, very early spring to do that work if you can. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else, because I got to run for a second. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back. One of those things on our new website that's broke, it's not working right yet, is the SPCA button, the adoption of the week, unfortunately. And so you're not getting to see the this week's dog. So let me just tell you about Irene once again. She is really pretty, and she's small, 3 years old, 35 pounds, and she's a blue heeler mix. She was part of a group that was, you know, being treated terribly that they helped. And sounds like she's just really, really a good, sweet dog, really, really pretty. You can, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the best thing to do is just ease into the SPCA, the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center. It's just west of downtown Dallas, and meet Irene and also Prescott, Libby, Colonel, and Como, which we also haven't helped get homes yet. And we'll try to get our site fixed in that regard so you can see the latest pooches and cats and everything that need help, need a new home. Okay, we got loaded lines here again. Let's see where we're going. Fred in on WNTP in Philly. Hello, Fred.
Hi,
the other half of the question, how far can I cut this back? Most of the green is on the top. If I go back much, there's not going to be any leaves left. Does that matter?
Yeah, you don't want to cut into a plant, yew, holly, whatever it is that you're dealing with, so badly that all you leave is the stems. You need to have at least some foliage left. And if you the harsher you have to cut it, the heavier you have to make the cuts to do what you need to do. And I understand sometimes you just have to do it. That's even more important for you to wait until that late winter, early spring time to do it, so that right after the cuts are made, the mechanism in the plant will kick into gear for the new growth to start.
So you're thinking what, like March?
Yeah, for you, probably March would be a real good time.
And I have to leave some, you got to leave some green on there.
Yeah, don't cut it all away. You can stress it so bad it might just turn up its toes and die.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the call.
Bye.
Let's go next to Paul in Salina, Texas. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Doc. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I've got a dwarf crepe myrtle all summer long, ever since this spring. The leaves have been real shiny, and it's got a white spots on it. When you scrape them, they'll basically just fall off. And I've been treating it with, I believe it was triple action that they gave me, they recommended.
Mm.
And I've been spraying it, and it just keeps coming back.
Yeah, the problem is that's a toxic chemical product, isn't it, triple action?
Or no, the one that they gave me was organic.
And it's called triple action. What's in it? What are the active ingredients?
I knew you were going to ask me, and I threw the bottle away last time I used it because I thought I took care of the problem.
Okay. It may have spinosad or something like that in it. But here's the deal. You can spray with an organic control or a toxic chemical and kill scale. But if you don't fix the problem that caused the scale to come there in the first place, it's just going to continue. Even though it's a dwarf crepe myrtle, it should have a flare just like a big tree. So what you need to do is go down to the base of that plant and get a – what I'd use in this case is go to a feed store and buy yourself a horse brush, you know, real stiff, oval horse brush that has the one I've got's got a strap on it so your hand slips in it. And I use that to expose flares a lot of times. It's really good for brushing the bark and the mulch and the soil away from the flare. Even a dwarf crepe myrtle will have a big, beautiful, dramatic flare. And if you do that and then apply the sick tree treatment, aeration, compost, rock minerals, sugars, you know, the whole business, as well as doing the sprays, whether you use spinosad or essential oil spray or horticultural oil spray, whatever you do that'll kill the scale, that'll actually keep it from coming back.
And orange oil do that?
Orange oil will kill them, sure will. The only thing you need to do first, is, this is a little bit of a head-scratcher. Sometimes when you have scale all over a crepe myrtle like that, if you look closely at the tree, you'll also see that there's a lot of ladybugs on there too. And the specific ladybug in this case will be a black, shiny ladybug with two red dots on its back, and it's called the twice-stabbed lady beetle. And if you don't see the adults, sometimes you'll see the little yellow eggs or the little alligator-looking larvae that are crawling around. If you don't see them, spray and kill the scale. Don't worry about it. For anybody listening that sees the lady beetles, don't do the spraying because you'll kill the lady beetles too. Just do the root flare and the rest of the sick tree treatment.
Oh, no. The orange oil will kill the ladybugs.
Yep. Sure will.
All right. Well, I guess I'm buying new ladybugs next year.
Well, just you may not have had any, but a lot of times
No. I do. I've got. We've been here in Salina for 8 years, and the first 5 years I bought a package of lady beetles and praying mantis and put them primarily in the garden out back.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 2 years, I have gotten towards this time of year a severe infestation of aphids. And I used the orange oil this last week to to try to get rid of them again. And this time that when I used the orange oil, I did notice about a dozen or so lady beetles on a couple of the plants.
Yeah. Just do more of, if you have ladybugs, try to stay away from the killing sprays, even if it's organic, and just work on that root flare. Most people think their crepe myrtles have a flare that's exposed, and most people don't. It's a very, very large, dramatic, wide-growing flare that goes out and turns into an apron. So just expose it a little bit more. Let the ladybugs take care of the problem. They'll take care of the aphids and help you with the scale as well.
When I trim this back in February,
mm-hmm.
can I dig it up and raise it physically?
Yep.
Even though it's been there 7 years?
Yes, you can. On a dwarf one, the root system would be such that that'd be okay. I'd probably try to go down first and just expose it by going down. But if you can't expose it well enough that way, go ahead and dig it up and reset it at the proper height.
Okay. My other question real quick that I wanted to ask you, because this has happened the last 2 years. In my garden, my honeydew and my cantaloupe have seemed to have attracted aphids real bad the last 2 years. The year prior to that, I had a little lady beetle looking bug that was green with black spots. Is that common for honeydew and cantaloupe?
Yeah, that's one of the worst pests there is. That's a spotted cucumber beetle. And spinosad, even though I don't like spraying it all over the place because it can mess up a honeybee's navigation. But if you do have those, spot spraying with the orange oil or even more horsepower, use the spinosad. It's,
that was 2 years ago, and I haven't had them back.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Since then, I have had the aphid infestation, and then this year last week when I sprayed, I had flies galore.
Okay, one other thing that'll help you, I think, with the pests that you're having in the vegetable garden, and this will help most any gardener out there. A lot of times there's not good available silica to the plants, and when there's not, there's a stress that's related to that deficiency. And here comes the aphids and some of these other pests that you're mentioning. If you'll get a big bag of diatomaceous earth, natural diatomaceous earth, it's not expensive, and put it in the soil as a soil amendment. It'll be dusty and it'll get all over you and everything, but just don't breathe a whole bunch of it. And work it into the soil. I think you'll see a great reduction in the pest pressure that you have.
So I can do that right around the first of the year when I add the compost and the cow manure and everything else that I add.
Yeah, do it now, and it'll help you with the fall garden. Go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, I've already given up on the fall garden this year.
No, don't do that. It's just perfect time to do it now.
Well, I was late getting my seeds planted, so I'm more worried about getting the sweet potatoes out of the ground here pretty quick.
Okay. All right. Good luck with it.
Have a good day.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Let's go to Justin in Cleburne, Texas. Hi, Justin.
Hi, good morning. So I had a question about planting a fruit orchard and probably some oak trees.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I dig down, I have probably about 10 inches of soil, and then it just turns to rock. You think I'm going to run into problems there?
No, just are you planting new trees now? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I'm wanting to, but I've been trying to figure out the answer to my question for a while.
I don't think that depth is going to be the fatal flaw. I think it'll keep the tree growth and production down some. But what you want to do is you want to plant real high anyway. You know, most people plant fruit trees too deep in the ground. It's the most common suggestion I give people because it's the most common problem that we have. So scrape all the soil off the top of the balls if you do bald and burlap. If it's bare-rooted, just make sure you plant them real high and build the soil up to the proper height on the trunk. In other words, you're going to plant them high, even higher than I normally would recommend, and then add some soil and mulch that kicks up to the proper place on the base of the tree. And that way the depth of the soil is not going to be a big issue for you.
Okay. And so I'd probably just keep adding soil. I mean, as the tree got bigger.
That's fine. You probably just add compost and mulch, and it'll change to soil for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate your help.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Mike in Donner, Delaware. Hello, Mike. Listening on WGMD. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Hey, I haven't been listening to you very long, but what I've been hearing, I've been liking. Here's my problem. We've got three maples in our backyard that we planted when we moved to where we're at now, like 26 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a green leaf maple. I'm not exactly sure of the species. And the other two are an ornamental maple. They're got the red leaves, the maroon leaves, deep maroon.
Japanese maple maybe or something.
I believe you might be right. Yes,
I tell you what, Mike, hang on, and I'll talk to you so we won't be rushed when we get back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back after this. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore. Crazy Water is so good and good for you, it's crazy. Come to the annual Crazy Water Festival on Saturday, October 10th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There'll be lots of music, crafts, games, and products. The festival will be at 209 Northwest 6th Street in Mineral Wells, Texas. If you can't make it out to the festival, you can get all the Crazy Water you need at HEB, Central Market, Kroger, and Brookshire's. For more information, go to crazywaterfestival.org. Crazy Water, so good, it's crazy.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to DirtDoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you. And we were talking with Mike in Delaware. And question about your maple trees. Mike, go ahead.
All righty. And what we have here is, like I say, we've got three trees that we planted about 26 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done great, you know. I mean, good shade trees, everything. But I noticed about 3 years ago, one of them, and that was the probably the Japanese maple, one of them was a little bit smaller, which is not a big deal. And it just didn't seem like at first that the leaves were as vibrant in color.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following year, it seemed like there ended up being, like, a lot of branches. I wouldn't say they were actually dead. They wasn't brittle to snap them, but they just didn't produce anything. And then I noticed that come fall time that it seemed like the tree was under stress. It would, like, right now, it's unloaded just about all of its leaves, and the other two haven't even dropped a leaf yet. So
early fall color and early kicking leaves off, huh? Well, the plant is in stress. There's no question about it. Mike, I think you're a fairly new listener. Have you heard me talk about the flare of trees?
Yes. Can you explain that very quickly?
Yeah, that's probably what you're dealing with there. A lot of times trees come from the grower to the nursery too deep in the container. I've got a little dwarf Japanese maple, for example, that I've got in a pot in my backyard. And when I bought it, it had a bald and burlap root ball that was stuck down in a big container. They had, you know, that's a fairly common thing they do. Well, when I took the little tree out of the container, and I may have a video of this. If I don't, I'll do one sometime soon because I've got shots of the whole operation. We took the burlap off the top of the little root system, and I found that in this root ball that wasn't as big as a bushel basket, wasn't even that big, about half that size probably, I had about 3 to 4 inches of soil on top of the actual flare and roots under the burlap that I had to remove, which I did, and we planted it at the right height, and it has just been a spectacular little tree. It's such a dwarf. I've had it now 10 years or so, and it's not even barely three feet tall. So yours are probably too deep in the soil. The Japanese maples, whether they were in a container or balled in burlap, they tend to do that when they harvest them. And during the cultivation up prior to the harvesting, they tend to throw more soil up on the flare, up on the top of the root system. So if you get a brush, like I was talking about earlier, with a collar, and just very carefully so you don't damage the roots as you go down, you can use hard tools, but you can end up damaging the roots. You need to do it very delicately if you use hard tools, but get down to the where the flare is moving out sideways, moving out laterally, which is what it's supposed to be doing, and you should be seeing that. It should, that part of the tree should be above the ground. And I think you'll see your trees come back around and do fine. I think that's probably all that's wrong with them.
Well, I do have a friend of mine, or that's a landscaper, and he came out and took a look at it. And he said, you got a girdling root, he said.
Yeah, well, a lot of times this soil covering the flare is also hiding that exact thing. He may be right.
And then, of course, this was back in the 80s, you know. I mean, and they were mulched around and had mulch ever since.
Yep.
I took in the, and brushed it back after he told me that. Now, he did the injection thing, you know, which after talking to a few people, they said it's pretty much worthless.
Yeah, I don't really recommend that in this case. And when you find these circling and girdling roots like you may have found there, use your pruners and prune them off, just like a pruning off a limb that's crossing and cutting into another limb. You're not going to hurt the plant by doing that. In fact, you're going to do it some good. Cut those.
Really?
Yeah, cut those circling, girdling roots out of there.
Okay. Because I did notice this year, each year it progressively gets a little bit more sicker. It's the one side, probably 50% of the one side of the bark is pretty black looking, and I noticed this year it had actually started to buckle at the
bark. Well, it gets worse every year because that circling, girdling root grows, and it starts cutting into the tree like squeezing your neck. You know, it just gets worse every year. And so as soon as you cut it off, you're going to almost feel a sigh of relief from the tree. And this very first next growing season, you'll see it take off and do fine. If that's the case,
wow.
It sounds like it is.
Would you recommend, like I got all three of them back there with mulch, and would you recommend sweeping that mulch back
exposing
the roots?
Yeah, mulch can be as damaging as soil up on the base of a tree. We used to be pretty cavalier about saying put a great old big thick layer of mulch. Now my mulching recommendations are to, on a new tree, the area that you've dug the hole, you put 2 inches deep mulch out at the outside edge, and then as it gets closer and closer to the stem of the plant, it gets thinner and thinner to where there's no mulch at all. Right at the flare.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's encouraging because, I mean, I don't want to lose this thing.
You're going to be amazed at how your trees will turn around, how great they'll do. Take some before and after pictures for us and send it to us. We'll put it on the Torque site.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your call. And one last time, everybody check out the new website, dirtdoctor.com. It's still got a few little quirky issues that we're working on. There's a lot to it, but most of it's working pretty well for you. Check it out. If you've got some questions about it, let us know. If you find something that's wrong, let us know. And those of you who want to send us information about your organic project, we'll put the information on the Torque website, texasorganicresearchcenter.org, and give you a 6-month trial membership to the Organic Club of America for helping us out with data like that. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, enjoy your week. Don't forget to feed the birds and also give them some water.